Okay, I would like to call this meeting at 5:16.
16.
If we can stand for a pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And you know, it's been a couple of meetings since we've had anybody, but this is Callie Divinate. You were on the phone, so I didn't hear you.
I did.
Callie's our new first grade teacher.
Welcome.
That we hired. So and her mom is going to be one of our subs, maybe even coach for us a little bit. So we're working on that.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So.
Was there any changes between this agenda and this agenda?
The one I gave you last night I had copied off last year's consent agenda, and I forgot that we had that one resignation in there, so I got rid of that.
That's just an
empty? Yeah, and I put that up again, but I
not
posted
the only
it.
Change?
The right one's posted. No, then the other one was the addition of letter E, that community eligibility program. It's so that we can feed all the kids free, and we can get involved in that as a four-year program.
Well,
so
that was we have authorized signatories.
Say what now?
Approve authorized
signatories.
Is it this one? This is the first one, right?
On the back side.
Oh, gotcha.
On the back side, voting letter E, sorry.
Yeah.
There's like two or three letters.
Action items.
Oh, okay.
New business.
Action items, yeah.
Because we have old business, new business.
You got a lot going on here, you know, you really do. Usually we don't have old business, and you guys usually take care of that stuff, and you don't have to have it, but this time we've got a little bit.
In case we're going off the new agenda.
New agenda, the one clean cut, put up.
Okay, adoption of the agenda for the meeting of June 30th.
I'll second that motion.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item 2, call to the public. Nothing. Not all that one.
All right.
Okay, consent agenda. So, are we approving the meeting on June 14th?
The minutes.
The minutes, okay.
The minutes from June 14th and then June 30th.
The special board meeting on June 30th.
Right.
I don't have any changes, I'm good.
Me neither.
Me neither, as
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Oh, we don't have to. We'll do it all at one
time. Oh, consent.
Yeah, right. There you
go. Yeah. I still have a hard time getting used to
it. I know. That's all right.
Item B, presentation of the June financial report.
Okay. It's a little thick this time. I had done, during the month of June, I had done completed 9 vouchers. I had 4 payroll vouchers, which includes 2 that the teachers get paid for in July, but it's still out of FY22 money. And then I had 5 expense vouchers.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it kept me busy. It's a lot.
The first voucher.
That first voucher of 314?
Yes.
Should be the balance. Yeah, it is, 311. The balance of the tuition to Bisbee, that was the final payment.
That was the final payment?
Yeah, that's 311.
Which one you guys on?
The first one. The first one, yeah.
Yeah, that was 311, 858, 857.
Okay. So starting next year, is it going down, you said?
It went down a little bit.
A little bit?
Uh-huh.
Is that because of the population?
Partly because the budget may have gone down
from
the ADM also, so it's a possibility that's why it went down.
I'm not going to argue.
Part of it's the population.
Right.
Would they have less kids? But then we just sent 40 kids.
They'll score.
No other big surprises happening on the list, I don't believe. You see the 2 payrolls in June were the 90,000, and then it dropped down on the 2 for payments in July. That's basically just the teachers. have to make their 26 payrolls that they want.
And then on the voucher for the 2246, there's an $81,900. It says final balance on tuition again. Is that what it is?
No.
That's the
46, you said?
2246.
No, that should have been 81.
81,963.
You're right. That was the difference. I know what happened. I ran out of money, or budget money, on the one purchase order, and I couldn't go over that amount, so we had to create another purchase order. So the balance was, almost $400,000, which is the balance, and I ended up splitting it with two different purchase orders.
So when we start at the beginning of the year, we'll put down what we anticipate to spend with the vendor. We'll look at it historically, or what we're going to pay Bisbee or whoever it is. And so she'll have an amount, and there'll be. And then at the end of the year, if you don't spend it, then you have the encumbrance. So then it goes back into our fund if we don't spend it, or if we don't have to repair 14 air conditioners and all those kind of things. So we might have $8,000 or $10,000 with this vendor, we might have $10,000 set with this vendor that we can spend throughout the year. And if we go over it, then we spend up to that amount, and then we have to put in another amount that we can spend from that, is what she's talking about.
But this 81, it went to the school also?
Yes. Yeah, his bill was about just under $400,000, and there was only so much money left on the one purchase order, so I had to have another purchase order created for the $81,000. Because what was left on the original PO was not enough to cover the $390,000, and I cannot go over the budget. That's on the original PO.
Oh, okay.
Got it?
Okay.
You can't go and adjust the PO once you write it.
Once you write, okay.
Yeah. Can't go and increase it.
So did you guys finalize ordering everything to end that school year, and then when the new school year automatically starts in July also?
Yes. New school year, yes.
Okay.
We have a good deal of our stuff ordered already.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
We spent more than we usually do.
We usually wait
until July 1, but because of that cap issue, we tried to have more of our stuff spent so that we have less of an issue.
I know that. When is it that we got those boards in the classroom? 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah,
this year was the first year we used them. So.
Okay. And so far, they went okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everybody?
Yeah, every one of our teachers was using them. Even, Miss Mott, who retired, she was not a big fan of technology, used hers, so they all used them. So even Mr. Page, you couldn't get him to answer an email for the first year I was here, so he used his. So, yeah, it was good. They're good. I think once the teachers saw the kids got engaged and they got into it, it's pretty easy selling technique for them. Because, as a teacher, if your kids are engaged, your job's, your job's rolling down the right road. And so you don't have to work so hard to get them engaged. And the kids love the technology. With technology, they kind of gobble up. Sometimes they're better at it than we are. So a lot of times.
Any other questions?
Remember those laptops that we were pending on receiving? Did we ever get those? Because I don't know, you said they were in back order.
Well, we are getting laptops and iPads through an E-rate deal where we don't actually even have to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to purchase with our ESSER and order them in, and then we actually ran into this where we didn't have to use that fund. So we're saving that ESSER fund, and we're getting our basically free. The only thing we have to do is buy the parts, the cows for them. So, but they're, I want to say they're back ordered. I know that one of them's gone through. I don't know. And I don't remember if it was the iPads that have gone through or if it was the Chromebooks that have gone through. One of them's gone through and is in the process of coming. And then the other one was still backlogged. So we'll get them. Last year, I think, you know, we ordered in May, and I think we got them in October or November. So they'll come in. It's just a matter of when. But right now, we're just at with everything. We don't have enough iPads to be one-to-one, but once these come in, we're going to be really close. Each of the rooms should have, you know, between 10 and 13 iPads, I think Victor told me, so each of the elementary classrooms. And then it really depends on what the third grade want to use, if they want to use the Chromebooks, which we have enough of, or if they want to use iPads. And then if they don't use the iPads, then we'll have more that will trickle down too. So. The next item that you guys, did we get through vouchers? Or got any other questions? I was just going to say the Deer Valley IGA, I have here, we just got it from them. They're the company that did the bags for us, and they did the shirts, I guess I may have been wrong. They're a school that does all that, and so we get a, they take the middleman price out. You get a better deal, and their students actually do the work, so they're learning on the job, and so we save a little bit of money by doing it. So we just have to sign that each year. It's the exact same one we had last year, but as long as you guys approve it. But it goes through and like I said, takes out the middleman, and then if it works out, they're actually not that far away from me, so either they ship them down here or I can pick them up.
If we can order, we order anytime?
We're going to order... this year we're going to order T-shirts for the staff, and we're going to get some different T-shirts. We got some more bags coming, so we made sure we got enough bags for all the new people, you know, and all that. So, and then if we want to order some other stuff, they're pretty good to go through to deal with. You can go with either embroidery or they'll screen print.
Did we do any shirts for the kids this year?
No, last year we didn't. We had a contest, and I was really counting on the junior high to kind of come through and do some digital stuff.
Mm-hmm. The logo, you mean?
Yeah. They really just didn't. So the ones I got were all from, like, first, second, third, fourth graders with, you know, hand drawings of a cardinal on a branch. You know, and it was just like, you know, you got to try that. So I told the junior high, I said, you know, and set it up so they could use Victor and whatever. And a couple of them were working on it, but they never really kind of finished. So so we didn't do anything. I think we'll just order something. We're going to get certain ones for the staff that would try to build on that, you know, team and theme, you know, that we tried to start working together, we not I, and that kind of stuff. So we're going to get a NACO shirt like that for, you know, that people can wear on Fridays or something. And then I think we have enough polos, some polos left over, so that we can get most of the new staff a polo too. So we're going to get, we also are going to get the custodian maintenance group two different colors, and then they can wear, and they'll be different colors. I mean, like, literally different colors, that everybody will know that that's the custodian, so they can find them. We're going to get a couple of T-shirts for the kitchen staff to wear, so that they have, you know, kind of like something to wear at school, a uniform that way. So we'll get each of them a couple of T-shirts that way. So, and they'll all come through that IGA with Deer Valley. So we get a pretty good deal from them.
Do you want us to sign it now or after the meeting?
We could sign it afterwards. Okay. I just wanted to get it on there so we can prove it, because we're going to want to order some shirts so that we have them, so when the staff get here, we've got stuff to give to the staff.
Okay. Item E, approve authorized signatures for National Bank Visa card, credit card.
And is that the one that
is it this one?
We're making a change on so that they know? One of the things that they came back in the audit and recommended to us was that we do not, if Donna's paying the bills, we don't have Donna's name on the credit card. So we're in the process of changing the credit card with Donna's name on it to Kristen's name. So that since Kristen's does all the ordering, and then Donna does the paying, you don't have the same person ordering and paying. There's less chance of fraud. So
I don't think I had paperwork on that. Did you guys?
No.
Donna was working on it, and they just got done at the bank, and they have to go back tomorrow. So okay. I just wanted to get it approved so that when that lady gets us the work, we can sign it, and then we'll run. I think we only do we need one signature or three on it?
Just one.
Yeah. So.
The we have the account, the credit card at National Bank, but we also have an account at the Washington Federal, right?
Those are checking accounts at Washington. Credit card is only at the National
Bank. Oh, okay. Okay.
And Washington's the one where we closed that one account because there wasn't really money in it last year.
Yes.
So we had like five accounts, and one, all we were doing was paying $5 a month to them to have an account. Mm-hmm. So we closed it. So the ones we have we use, but... yeah, the other one is where we have the credit card.
And in fact, item G is really Washington Federal thing, not Washington National.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Federal? All right.
Federal.
I'll fix that.
Okay, I'm correcting it.
Thank you very much. Oh, because National's up there. All right.
Mm-hmm. National on the mind thing?
Mm-hmm. Item F, approval of resolution allowing the district to approve vouchers for salary and expenses to be paid and approved at the next regular board meeting.
That's that general one that we do every year so that if we have a payroll between, we always have at least one payroll between every board meeting that we don't have to have a special meeting to have you guys approve it.
That's what you've been doing all along.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you'll sign vouchers, copies of the vouchers signed, you just approve them. So that's
okay. Okay, and then item G, approve authorized signatures for district checking accounts for the calendar year with Washington Federal Bank. And that's this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It lists the three accounts, and there's just two signers on those three accounts. Kristen balances the accounts, so she can't be a signer. Just like on the credit card, mm-hmm. It's just the opposite. So that's making us legal on this one.
Mm-hmm. Nothing other than we do technicality every year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, approve authorized signatures for the Speedway Fuel Wet Bank,
uh-huh.
Wet Bank credit card.
And that's the Speedway that we can use even when we go to service up that way for something. I had taken Armando off and Mr. Hubbard off. I think that's the only two I took off. And I added Mr. Vasquez and Mr. Martin.
The two custodians.
The two numbers. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. When are they going to open that speedway?
No, that's dug up.
I haven't
gone that way.
I haven't gone up there.
Yeah, it's pretty well dug up, but I don't think they're putting diesel in there. From what I understand.
See, that's our hang up. We've got the charge card, but the only time you can get diesel is if you go to Sierra Vista or someplace else.
Oh, at Speedway, yeah.
Yeah, Speedway, because we got the Speedway. We got the Speedway card because at the time we got the card, we were getting 5 or 10 cents off every gallon that we bought.
Mm-hmm.
But
is there a place to get diesel?
Points.
Around here?
Sky Island.
Sky Island. Yeah, the other one up there on the main drag there.
The Chevron?
No, there's one before that.
Oh, the owners from the pizza place?
No, I don't know if that's...
It's got a really high...
Yeah.
I want to call it. I don't know if call it an umbrella.
Yeah, so
from the
Bisbee
Beverage.
Yeah.
Okay,
those are
right.
That's Sky Island thing, right?
That's Sky Island?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You've lived here your whole life. Come on,
well,
Romero.
Well, I call it Busy Beverage Cafe.
I didn't know about a liquor store. They didn't find anything wrong.
I know.
Right.
The receipts that go in the auditor seat, they don't like them real well. It says Busy Beverage.
Yes, Busy Beverage. Yes.
How many gallons of what?
Yeah, same people own it.
Okay. It's like the school is buying liquor.
I know, seriously.
You're going to need it.
Okay. Item E, approve the list of sole source vendors for the 2022-2023.
Aye.
No, E.
Hey,
list of.
Are you on your old agenda? Or the new agenda you got today?
Isn't it this one? The today one?
Aye.
We have a new one.
Sorry. Did you not get my new one that I put there for you?
What did I say, G?
You said E.
Oh, I'm sorry. I.
E-I-E-I-O.
Yeah, there you go. You're all right.
She's okay. I missed that clap.
Hey, it's all right. You thought it was a Roman numeral and you were
going
to go.
Yes, there you
math.
Go.
That
thank you, Mr. Macklin. I knew you were here for some reason.
Yes, you're back.
Okay, so which one's that?
So the sole source vendors. We have to provide a list each year at the beginning of the year. These are the ones that we buy from, and we don't go out and get a bid because there's nobody else close that we can buy the same products from. Or they're, they're not, none of these are on our state.
We don't have soda machines anymore, do we?
Yeah.
Well, come on, Don.
We do?
That was the best thing that happened last year is when we got that soda machine. Everybody was excited about it.
Do they
it was almost better than the TVs. Do I
is that for everybody? Like
pops,
that's just staff, right?
Yeah, because, well, you know, you see, there's no place around here. If you're thirsty for something, there's only one place open, and I prefer none of our employees go there right at during the day.
Well, see, we used to have it in the gym for the longest time, and that was like for everybody and their brother. So I was just thinking about the kids, but there you go.
Yeah, no, we don't. You can't, and honestly, with the lunch programs and everything, you can't have anything from before school until after. It's 15 minutes before school till 15 minutes after school, or actually after your bus leaves. You can't have the sale of any of those type of things. So if you had that, it'd have to be shut down until 3:15 in the afternoon. So then you know, honestly, I've seen. In Minnesota, I had that, and I had kids that would stay after school so they could buy the pop and candy.
Really?
And then they'd walk home afterwards, but they usually got in trouble in those 15 minutes waiting. So, I mean, it's
commitment.
It's better that they don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, that was smart.
Okay.
Hiding it.
No? All right, and Jay, when you are now on, we don't have a new scale yet. Because we need to wait until they make the definite change in price. But just so that you know, we will bring a new pay scale and we're going to approve that we're going to be changing the pay scale on January 1st to meet the minimum wage increase. And it's going to go up almost a dollar.
Is it?
It may be over a dollar.
Now it's going to be over.
So right now it's what's minimum?
It's $12.80 right now.
$12.80. So it'll be going to
what? Well, they were talking.
They were saying. I got an email this afternoon from Chuck Essex, and he said right now the inflation is 9.1, and if they go off of August inflation index, so if that goes up in August,
could be close to $14 now. Which then trickles down to, you know, basically every hourly employee that we have. So.
Will that take effect to the ones on salary?
No.
No, just the hourly one?
Yeah, just the hourly. So we will bring that in once we know for sure, and then we'll get it approved probably November. Try to have it done by November for you guys and then bring it in. And it'll go into effect January 1.
Okay. Item K, approve surplus items to dispose to finish cleaning up our grounds and storage area.
Yeah. We have some desks, some furniture that was broken that's been on We put on, we dumped one full load. We just started loading up another one about the last week of June, and it's, I think it's close to half full right now. We had a lot of food that we had to get rid of. We had an issue with our freezer, and we had a lot of food that had passed the expiration date. So we just got, there's a full page of food listed on a notebook sheet there.
I thought you guys were going to have a party.
Yeah, so no.
I know that.
I mean, I would have, if it were in my house, I probably would have been able to eat it. But once, when you find, I mean, you know, I don't even want to go on record to say how old one of the things was that we found, but there were things that were buried in there, and they're supposed to be rotated every time you buy. Mm-hmm. So we'll be having a long discussion about that.
But we had one on here that wasn't expired. I didn't know why that was on there.
What one?
The mild cheddar cheese.
Oh, no, that was...
October 22.
October 22nd, I think it was 2017 or 2019.
Oh. This is October 28th,
2022. What was that? That much expired.
I know.
Donna went back to see when the last time we bought cheese was. And she went back a long time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of cheese. I mean, it's just a
2011?
Trying to improve.
Waffle?
I mean, I guess to say
waffle.
That, to keep it above
waffle?
Board.
Waffles, I think.
It's an area we struggled with. I mean, the year that Victor and I did that one, we had 19 cases of pancakes. But then we served all those breakfasts, so we made all those pancakes and got rid of them.
Yeah.
Because that was the first COVID summer, and then we got to serve, you know, breakfast. So, but, I mean, we have to do a better job of keeping on top of what we have and not just ordering, because we always order this. We don't have to order it if we've already got, you know, if we've got 58 pounds of shredded cheese, we probably don't need to order it this week.
You need to have like an inventory list.
Well, that's what's supposed to be done every week.
With the expiration on there, if they know what they need to do.
Oh, well, we have to put the expiration, everything we put in, we put the delivery date on every case and every can that comes in. All that's done. Mm-hmm. But when you leave it in a case and then it gets pushed in the back, and you know, the freezer was struggling, and we've been fighting with it off and on trying to, but generally speaking, most schools, when you get to the summer, they shut their freezers off, which
that's
means
a good idea.
As you get to about a month left of school, you stop ordering and you do, you know, cook's choice days, mm-hmm. things like that. So if you three come to lunch, we might have bean burritos and corn dogs and hamburgers, and you get to choose which one you want.
Corn dog.
You know, so I mean, you know, but I mean, you clean it out and do that, and so that's, we've got to get better at all of that.
It'd be good for the functioning to have a little break anyway, probably.
Yeah, and it does it does help. It does help the freezer when you get and totally defrost everything, let it rest, and it also saves us a lot of electricity.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, we're working on it.
Okay.
This. It's going to require probably a little more supervision, maybe.
It's going to require a little.
Was this caused with any issues because of the expiration dates and stuff?
No, because we caught it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when we took everything up to Bisbee, the last thing I was going to do was I was not going to take expired food up there.
Okay.
And put it in somebody else's freezer and then have somebody walk in and look at it and go, you know, no way. First of all, if it were my house and it was mine and I took it out of the freezer and it was expired, you know, 6-8 months ago, I'd probably still eat it, me. But I don't want anybody's being served that, you know. I mean, that's a choice I would make. I'll take a chance on being, you know.
Well, you know, it's been frozen.
Right.
Over that point,
so, but we can't do that when we're serving it to the mm-hmm. public and the kids.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Item L, approve the list of substitutes and volunteers.
Okay.
So is this our total list, or do we have other?
Well, right now, what I asked her to, I knew Kathy, because she came in a couple weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
so I knew she was interested. I had Miss Elias get a hold of the people who had, you know, the other people that we had, We, Miss Ryan, who subbed a lot for us last year, we, Ginger is what we call her, but she was going to be gone to Europe, but now because of COVID and some other stuff, their group decided not to go, so she's going to be around too. And then we added one new sub besides Kathy, and that's Tammy Wilson. She used to teach and work here. I didn't know about here, but at Double Adobe, I know she
did. The library?
Tammy Wilson, you know, she taught kindergarten in first grade when my girls were little.
She was an administrator, I think, up at Double Adobe before she had been. So anyway, she sent her application in to sub here, and if we need...
So that gives us how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's good.
It gives us 8, and it gives us, you know, 6 that we can count on throughout the year.
And you keep calling. Because we used to carry 12, and sometimes during flu season, none of those people would
We had a lot of people on here, and every time you call them, they could never come.
Well, like Mr. O, so, he's been doing this since my girls were in school here.
I was in school here.
The old mayor.
He's been doing it for a long time, man.
And he was a visiting mayor for quite a while. That's good.
So, I just asked her to make sure that these people all wanted to come, so she was trying to get a hold of people today. The only one we never heard back from was the daughter of Ginger. That's that Heather Sampson.
She used to be the head from Chiricahua, right?
I don't know. You know, Ginger has a master's or a doctorate in economics.
She used to be the head person from the... used to work at the Chiricahua, it was Ginger, and Heather was the...
Heather has her master's in either math or science. So when they come, we've got people that can come. They can teach almost anything. So, I always get nervous in math if we're working on anything with algebra or anything, but I wasn't last year when they were there, so...
That's in our consent right there.
There you go.
I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through L.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Now, I of course didn't make myself a copy of either of the old business items. I have it in my office. I'm going to go get them. Do you guys have copies? I gave you copies of...
I have the NACO school the uniform policy.
The uniform, okay. I'll get the other one.
My agenda is so strong with that. We should be able to figure it out. So the other one is the early entry for kinder, right? Yeah. You have that one?
No. I have the roof.
Kinder. You know what, you guys? Oh, no. I thought I had two of those. No.
I have the election bills.
You have what?
Election bills? That passed?
I got that the other day.
So you don't have the early enrollment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You guys have this one? No. Isn't that the one he was talking about? The food? Getting the food? Can you mention it?
Do you have the addendum?
Yes, this one?
Mm-hmm. You guys look that out.
I think I gave you. That's the dress code one.
Did you say you had the dress code one?
I have the dress code.
Oh, you have both of them.
Enrollment.
Do you have both or
no.
Neither?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. All right. Can I just steal your elementary, your early? Yeah, I'll just get right back to you.
Oh, this is, yeah, I got it. I thought I'd clean that one up. You left it.
When is Semana Santa?
That's in
March.
I didn't have a current. Is this the same one? This is the one I had from last month. What's the same?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's the same one, yeah. The same one I gave you guys last time. It's got 180 student days, and then the staff days in July are not included on there. We will also have to add another staff day at the end of the year for checkout, but we'll go through that when we get there. Okay.
So on the old item, the first one was the kindergarten appeals protocol. And so we said we would revisit this, and we brought it up to remind us last time. And so we said we would talk it through tonight and see what you would like to do. This year, we have one kindergarten. Okay, we have 25 spots for kindergarten students. Right now we have 17 students enrolled, which is more than we've had at this point of the summer since I've been here.
And we're doing what did you say, 25?
We have 25. One teacher, one full-time para, 25 students is the max we're going to put in that room.
All day?
All day, okay. So with that, we had our roundup. We got information out. We, you know, sent it home on, I think we did an all-call. We've had it on the website. We've, you know, all of that just to get people to register. Because in most places, and I'm not saying Arizona, I'm just saying in other places around the U.S., people register early. They're excited to get their kids in school. They want to do it. And here, that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes we don't get excited to get them into kindergarten until, say, October. You know,
sometimes they trickle in for
Do all the way to probably January, mm-hmm. unfortunately, here. We said we would revisit this. And the rationale, or the only thing that, in my view, and then you guys can just tell me where you want to go with it and decide, but in my view, the only thing with this is that when we have an early enrollment, I would recommend we have a timeline set for all of our students who are of age. Okay, they got the first crack, because we get paid for them. But if we have to have a cutoff of when do you say, okay, first day of school, if we have openings, if we have kids that are young but they want to go to school, we can run through the testing. The testing worked really well last year, really did. We had 6 kids who wanted to come. We had 2 kids who passed the testing, and they both did very well. Okay, they were both close. They were, I don't know, within 15 days of the cutoff, they just both did. They both had English skills. I mean, that, you know. That
and they were bright.
It makes a huge difference if you have English skills and your teachers are speaking English and you get it. You know, the light bulb goes on a lot faster. So, but the key there is every kid that we take on that's not 5 as of September 1, we get nothing for. So we have to. I just feel it would be better if we had something that said we will accept your application. We will test your child so that we can see where they're at. Okay, and then if we have an opening after
closing.
You know, whatever day it is we start kindergarten, we'll call you and let you know that if you still want them enrolled, they can join the class.
And I'd like to see them in district also.
Well, yeah.
And I know we have open enrollment, but I'd like to see them to accept the ones that are old enough first and then try to make sure they're in district and let those kids have first opportunity, and that's in my mind.
Well, honestly, that's how it got to be anyway. I mean, the legal age is the first thing that I feel we should be looking at. Then you go in district, then you go open enrollment. Mm-hmm. And then you go. You would do the same for those that are too young. You would go in district and qualified, ready for school. I mean, we had some kids that were actually older than the two we had that came in, and when the dad dropped them off and walked out of the room, they started screaming and wanted to leave.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously, probably not quite ready, you know.
Right.
I think we have to have that. I do believe that testing worked out really well last year. I think it was well put together by Thelma and Ms. Vigil and Ms. Campos. They thought they did a really nice job of trying to put that stuff together. Had a decent early childhood background with that. So I felt like it was a fair process. The only question then is, do you want to put a monetary amount? I think what we have is good. But the question I have is, I feel we should put a timeline in there that allows all of our of-age students the first shot, because they're the ones we get reimbursed for.
Okay? I say the timeline would be by the first day of school, and then
give them till the first day of school, so at the end of that first day of school, if we don't have people enrolled, we can open it up and allow the younger ones to come.
Yeah. See, and I know that in reality, that's not going to happen. I mean, that's just not the way it works. I think we should extend it a period of time to allow the people in district. The other thing is that we have to remember that the state set a mandate about the top population in our classrooms, and I was on the board then at that time, and we decided that because of our English language barrier and that kind of thing, that we had, and even though our documents are missing, it was a 21 is what we set it up.
That was our state.
And
that
it was
recommended.
It's not set in stone, but it's a recommendation. And I think it is a good idea in kindergarten because these kids are just getting away, you know, out of the nest. And I think that I think that some kids will succeed, but I just don't want to start a firestorm allowing kids that are way younger to come in because they test out either. You know, and I do think the kindergartners need that individual attention. And so 25, I think, is really kind of getting up there for one teacher.
It's a high number, but if you have one teacher and you have a really good full-time
right,
parent
yeah.
in there.
But I mean, some of these kids are not potty trained. They're supposed to be potty trained, and none of them aren't.
Every now and then kids have accidents.
We had a couple last year that were not potty trained, period, you know, at all. And so personally, we do represent the taxpayers of the district, so I do feel a little guilty about asking them to pay. What is the estimated cost for educating a kindergartner, Tim?
Well, if you think about it, we're paying a set price for that teacher.
Right.
The teacher and the para that we're paying to put in that classroom are going to cost us the same amount.
Right.
So, ultimately, the difference is that instead of getting, what do we get for a kindergartner? We get half, so half of six is about three. We get about $3,000 for each kindergarten kid,
okay,
as long as we go full day. And so say we have 25 kids, right? How much do you bring in to pay all the bills, the teacher, the para, blah? We're going to have the lights on. We're going to, you know, all that we're going to do anyway. So it basically comes down to about $3,000 less per slot that you don't fill with a five-year-old.
Right. And they're talking about free lunch program. What is our estimated percentage of kids that are on the free lunch program?
Well, if we get approved for this, which I'll explain later, but if we get approved for it, we'll have 4 years for every student will get free lunch.
Right.
Every student, no matter what.
They used to have a set cost as to how much it was per student that was on the free lunch program.
We just approved the prices last board meeting, I think.
And I think our percentage used to be like 96% of our kids were on the program.
Well, it was, but when Julie and Sally did the numbers for our last reporting, it came out at only about 76%, which is just not right.
So what do you guys think about the money, about them, a slight tuition of some kind?
If that student comes, do they get free lunches also?
We get reimbursed for every lunch that
But
that
they will qualify
gets.
For free lunch.
Every student that would come, if we get the CEP program, every student for 4 years, we won't have to collect any paperwork nothing. It's just automatic free
lunch. And that's if we qualify.
Right. And we, well, we were sent a notification on June 8th that we qualify.
Oh.
Okay. But nothing happened until I got the notice on June 28th that we hadn't applied.
Mm-hmm.
And we qualified. So why hadn't we applied?
Well, so I just want to see somebody that really that is old enough and to come in to miss a spot because somebody younger came
but
in.
But that's why we're going to open it to, I mean, I don't think the first day of school is, I think we need to give them a little bit more time.
I think we need, I think say a month.
Well, here's my thought. If you're going to go past the first day, then you go to the end of the first week. And I mean, I honestly would even ask, Callie's been a kindergarten teacher for 18 years, so I would say if you go a month, now those kids have lost a month of education.
Yeah.
If nobody else is coming, if you're not going to get off your butt and get your kid to school, mm-hmm. then you know what? I agree. They should have first come. But there's got to be a place where it's like, okay, I want to be in school, or, you know, I'm going to bring my kid
when I get done. How important is it for the parents to have their child in school?
That's,
I mean, if you're going to take that long to register your kid into school, then obviously your child's education is not a top priority.
And a lot of our people move around a lot.
Well, we are very transient. But
right.
I will tell you, and I did not teach the little people, okay? I did not. I taught seventh graders, which sometimes felt like third graders, but I taught 7 through 12. But it was important for me, even at that age, the beginning of the year is important because that's when you set everything.
Right.
You set everything up in your classroom, and the kids learn the routines, and they learn the process. I'm saying, but you want to, I mean.
And it's very, very important, especially for the little people, because that is when you're setting your routines and your rules and how you do things and getting them trained.
Well, what do you think about, like, 2 weeks?
1 week.
Huh? 1 week?
I would say 1 week.
To me, that'd be a max, just because the first 4 days, this year, our first 3 days, are going to be just setting the routine. And then we come back that second week, and we're doing our growth testing.
Uh-huh.
And then that third week, we're off to the races.
Yes.
And they got to know. I mean, like, okay, it's carpet time. Get to your spot, you know, and everybody's got a carpet, and they've got, you know, either letters or numbers or animals or whatever it is on their carpet. Kids know where to go. They sit in their spot. And, you know, I mean, they just pick that up. And if they're not there, and all of a sudden you got a kid coming in 2-3 weeks late.
Play catch up.
And then our problem here is that we come in and we already don't speak English, but now we're 2 weeks behind and everybody else knows the routine. And, you know, then the kids feel like, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't like school. I don't, you know, I mean, it's not that they don't like school. It's that they come and they're so far behind everybody, they just don't feel like they're going to catch up.
Right.
And so then we set them up for failure, too. I really feel like after we do this 1 year with what we're doing, we're going to have people sign their kids up.
So you think we should not request a tuition?
Well,
is that where you're leaning?
I can go either way with the tuition. And if you have a tuition, even if it was a low amount, I just feel like the cutoff date's the most important thing to me, because we're going to pay that para and that teacher, and we're going to spend the electricity, and we're going to, all that we're going to spend.
But we are not going to exceed 25.
But no way. And it's a hard cap.
Okay.
That's it. We're not. If a kid leaves, we can take another one.
Right.
You know, because we know they're going to come in January and
well,
February.
As long as we stick to it.
Because they always do. But we're not going to go. We're not going to 26, 27, 28. We're not doing that. Not in kindergarten. No way.
They do need that individualized attention.
The kindergartens that we do allow to come in that late are going to be kids that already are of age, right? Not
no, we would not allow any young kids to come in.
Okay.
No. If we took anybody, say, even in October or anything like that, they have to be of age. We're not taking them.
Okay, so that's going to be clear cut, black and white, that nobody after this period of time will be allowed in.
I think we have to say after that first week we won't accept any younger kids, and we'll allow the younger kids that have tested that qualify to have the option to join us if there's an opening.
Mm-hmm.
And we go residents,
But I think that if you set that at 25, I think that you're going to reach that number pretty rapidly anyway. So you're probably not going to have any slots, you know. So I know my daughter started kindergarten here. There was 40 in that class with one teacher.
You know, last year, we had, the last 2 years, we've had two teachers.
Yeah.
We've had
15 and 14.
And that was at the, after we maxed out at the top we got to. Mm-hmm. We started out with 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. And I'm paying a teacher and a para and a teacher and a para to teach 14 kids, and I got 4 adults. And that's 2 years in a row running. And I know COVID was an effect. But the first year when I was here, we had 42 kinders, but we didn't have them signed up until we got to the end of September.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we added, I want to say in just the last 2 weeks of September, we added like 12 kids.
Mm-hmm. And the younger kids, they still have an option with Head Start, too, if they miss the cutoff, you know.
What's going to happen this year? We may be getting a little off topic, but if we start reaching those numbers, 40 kids by mid-September.
Are you talking kinder?
First grade, we're going to have four. We're starting out with 40 kids in first grade.
No, kindergarten.
Oh,
it's not going to happen because the maximum is 25.
Here's the thing. If we have a cap of 25, we'll put people on a waiting list, or they can go to a different district. But
and if somebody leaves,
and I think we definitely learned our lesson. And not that I wouldn't have somebody that could take a kindergarten class, because I do have somebody that would do that in a heartbeat. But if I did that, who am I going to put in that first grade class?
Right.
And we've had to hire last minute teachers, and it's been the worst hires that we've been able to make.
And both of those grades are very precarious, you know, and it's they're just getting off the ground.
K-1, 2, even 3 are the most essential classes.
Right.
If they don't get that foundation in their education,
it's going to make or break it.
It's right. And it affects them forever.
It will.
So it's very important. So at 25, it's now, if we get to a waiting list of 14 people, you know, that you got to look at where do you break even by adding another classroom too.
But right. can we do that legally if we have all of a sudden, this is mid-September, and we've reached 40 kids?
If we have 15 on a waiting list?
Yeah. Can we legally tell them, I'm sorry, but we don't have any more...
We don't have an educator because we didn't have enough kids signed up, so we didn't hire another teacher.
Well, we also have our procedures and our from the state handed down. They had a cap on it, on the population.
You can...
And we did ours lower.
I mean, it's not the best. I would hate to turn kids away, but there comes a point where we can't continue to pay 4 adults to educate 13 or 14 kids either. So you got to have a point where you got to say, okay, this is what the last 2 years have shown us. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to set this. This is our cap. Mm-hmm. We've got it out there. We've told all, we already have 17 signed up. That's more than we had going into the end of September last year.
Right. And again, like you said, if they're really that adamant about getting their kids in here, they need to get in here.
Well, yeah, if they want their kids educated, they're going to come and sign.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know. So how about this? For this one, they need they have until the end of the first week of school.
No, because that's only 3 days. Remember, technically it'll be to the end to the day of the 12th.
So let's see. Look at this. Let's see. 8th August.
So I'll be the second. Well.
Class begin on the 3rd.
We begin on the 3rd.
Are you going to do school
Wednesday
days?
Well, that's up to you how you want to do it.
I think we should, what do you think?
Personally, I would say the week you start, the end of that week.
August 5th.
That's 3 days.
I know. But if you want to cut hairs and you want to say, well, we'll go 5 school days, now you're doing it on the next 2. I mean, I don't know. It's up to you guys.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 days would be the 11th. It'd be 5 days on the 10th. 12th is early release. So let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm talking work days. Because they can't come in and register on the weekends anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know. So what do you guys think? Would you be willing to go to like the 10th or 11th or 12th? Giving them, that'd be what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 days would be on the 12th.
That'd be 8.
8?
Well, because I'm looking at how many days a kid would miss school.
Right.
So if we have a 4-year-old that qualifies, they would miss 8 school days.
Right.
Waiting for somebody not to come in. I honestly, once we start school, the word spreads that we've already started.
That's August 5th.
I mean, if you want to go till the 7th, that gives them a week.
But the 7th is a Sunday, darling. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, the
9th. They can't come
in
and register on a Sunday.
I thought you meant five school days. So.
Oh, I see. 1.
If
two,
you wanted
three,
to
four,
go a full 5 school days, that would 10. Be the 9th. Honestly, though, that would be if I'm the teacher and I'm waiting. Now I'm going to get a new kid. You know, I'd rather get him on Monday than on Wednesday. Just, you know, it just, I would.
What are you thinking? I can see she has a thought.
I just feel like, aren't you doing a lot of registration and kids coming and meeting on Monday and Tuesday? And that isn't there stuff going on with the school Monday and Tuesday?
The week, the days before we do
it,
yeah.
So it's like
we have open house on that Monday.
All
anyway.
Of that should be within the community already. And so I feel like it should be the 5th because it should already be out there. And like we said, then the longer you wait, the longer that little one is missing.
Okay, so if we do the 5th, when would it be the last day for those, the under?
Well, then I think that the unders would have to have already applied by the 5th.
Already applied and tested.
They should already be applied by the 5th.
So they're on the waiting list ready to go in.
They would be on a waiting list ready to go in.
If
yep.
somebody falls out.
Right.
Okay.
Or if you don't reach the numbers.
Right.
Say if we have 24 kids.
How many do we have? Do we have anybody registered yet?
17, but none younger. No. None
oh,
younger.
But that's 17. That's quite a bit.
That
really
is very good.
Yeah.
Right. Our campaign to get people to sign up has been effective.
Last minute. Yeah.
It has been effective. So we don't have any. We might be worried about something that doesn't happen this year. It only happens about once every 3 years. You know, like last year, we just happened to have like 6 people that, you know, wanted to come.
You know, I'd probably be willing to agree with the 5th because technically people need to start being prepared if they're really that involved in their kids' education.
Mm-hmm. And we have open house on Monday night.
And they're going to have the waiting list to fall back on if there are loopholes there. And so I think I'm okay with that.
Okay. Just should we say the end of the first week of school?
Yeah, but you should say the
Friday
date.
Of the first week of school.
Right, you should still put the date on it.
Because you're talking about like future school years, they may not always
right.
be. Putting a date in. Well, then say about 3 days after the start of school.
Well, but we may not always start on a Wednesday. We might start on a Tuesday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you say too many days, I think you just say the Friday of the first week of school is the last day.
Yeah.
Closing day.
We'll hold a spot
so
for 5 years.
If we start on a Thursday, we're not, after that Friday, do we take it?
We're not starting on Thursday. Good Lord, you never were a teacher, Don. You do not want a 2-day week. Oh, 2-day week's terrible. That Thanksgiving, that was a nightmare. So I hate 2-day weeks.
But the other thing is, too, is that sometimes these kids, they'll register and then they start coming to school and then they never show up again.
Oh, yeah. They're off and on. They wait till 9 days and you call them on the 7th day and they don't get an answer the 8th day, the 9th day. Then you finally get a hold of the parent the 9th and say, if they're not here tomorrow, then we're dropping them. Boom, they're all of a sudden here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now the 10 days starts over again.
Right.
I kind of feel like the ones that are young don't have the age yet, but they come in, they test, and then they still get placed on that waiting list. That shows dedication. That shows
right.
that they want to be here. The parents want them to be here.
Right.
So in that situation, I don't think we're going to have a problem with the kids that are young. That problem.
Well, I don't either. I just hope that we have kids that are old enough to get in here to go to school more than anything. Because I know we
kids
can
who have sign up and take a spot get here.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And then the other question then is, at this point in time, do we want to leave it? I just don't foresee right now with that cap, I don't foresee a problem. Do you want to not put a dollar amount on it, just leave it as we just have talked about? that
I guess
first
so.
Friday?
Okay. I'm kind of opposed to it because I think it sets a precedent because the taxpayers are the ones that are footing the bill.
Well, I think if we see a situation where we have kids that are underage.
I know, but it's not going to be like we're having 10 or more. It's probably one.
I know. Last year when we had 6 people apply, it was like, holy cow, where did all this come from?
But if it's going to be maybe not even 3, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Because not, yeah.
And if it gets out of crazy, then we'll have to readjust it.
Well, and sometimes that 25 now, like we had 2 kids that were retained. So 2 of those spots were already taken by kids that
didn't go last year but weren't ready
to move forward. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. I'm good.
Okay, so if we have spots available and somebody comes at the beginning of September, are you going to
see
them?
If they're 5, yes. If they're 4, no.
They can go on the list, but only if they're 5.
If they're not 5, they're not going to get in, and we're not going to put them on.
But if there's room for somebody, like example, at the beginning of September, and they're, at age 2, to start kindergarten. Are you
at age
5,
yes.
If there's capacity.
If we have a chair, we'll accept them. We kind of have to, really. Yeah, especially if they're, and then again, all of a sudden had 6 people walk in the same day. And that sounds weird, but trust me.
It can happen.
Weirder things happen here. And we have 4 of them are from town. They're going to get the spot, and open enrollment's not.
Right.
So.
And then if we, for example, we have one that's underage, and then we have another student that comes in and says he's on age, he's 5, ready for kindergarten, we will not kick that.
We're not kicking the young kid out that was here to begin with because somebody showed up later on and they were 5.
Okay, so that 5-year-old will be like,
once we accept the kid, we're keeping that kid. We're not going to do that. No, that's not kosher.
Right.
That would make us look very bad.
How are we going to word that to the end of the first school week?
End of the first week of school, Friday. The end of the first week of school, Friday. Yeah.
And then if we're not going to have the parents pay tuition, then we should probably cross out also under letter I, number 3.
There are multiple applications.
It says ability to pay will also be a consideration for the district.
Letter I, number three.
Student most academically, socially, emotionally ready to begin school is ranked with the district assessment team for kindergarten enrollment. Students who live in the district and are first served with the numbers available are less than those wanting to be admitted. Ability to pay will also be a consideration.
Here's what I would recommend on that. I think what we should put down is ability to pay at this time will not be a consideration for the district, but it may be in the future.
Well, yeah, because that would cover.
That's subject to change.
Why did you say cover
your butt? Okay. Ability to pay will not
cover your assets.
Assets. That's right. Ability to pay. I'm glad we have everything on the board.
OMG. So we're not striking I. We're modifying it.
Now, how did ability to pay at this time will not
be considered,
but it may be in the future.
Yeah.
Will not be mandatory, but okay. All right. Sorry.
Okay. Got it. Okay. I should be able to take
that.
Deal. Do we need to vote on that one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you did not. Action. You have to vote
on
it. Yes.
Vote on that?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to approve the corrections made on the second reading of appeals process for early entry into kindergarten.
I'll second.
Aye. All right. Romero almost. All right, the dress code.
Oh, yay.
I included the compliance measures just because, so you see what they are, somebody calls because Mr. Macklin did this or that, and it's only the third time my child or fourth time they've come in the improper uniform. So you could see what first, second, third, and fourth violations are. With dress code, we don't go, I mean, as long as it's not something really, really vulgar and bad, we don't go to anything where we would end up with an expulsion or anything. Obviously, that's a whole different thing. But we do follow the student code. The only changes specifically just deal with the collared shirt. And because last year we allowed them to wear T-shirts if they were nice. And then we got those magical roll-up shirts that the girls decided to wear. And we dealt with that. I think there were over 100 days we had people in the office between the roll-up shirts and the
holy
pants and everything.
But, you know,
so.
I think... So are we still do jeans or khakis?
Yeah, jeans or khakis. As long as they don't have holes in them, it
can
you?
Like right here where it says no holes may be worn.
Right.
Can you bold that and underline it also like the same way you did on the hoodie? No hoodie sweatshirts.
Let me see. Where is that? On
where it says boy?
Are you talking about the red?
Oh, I got you.
In red?
For girls, too.
And for girls, too.
Because the
girls
are the ones.
Yes, no, like bold and underline. And
okay. Where
you want to use a 16
font. So we're going to do the shirts, they can be red, white, or blue.
Well, we suggest red, white, and blue, but we said they could wear any colors as long as they're not wearing stupid sayings on them or anything like that.
It needs to be a plain shirt. But it should still be a collared shirt?
Yes.
Collared.
So that helps prevent a lot of that.
You don't have the, you know, and so that's, and the other thing that I said was, and I go through it with the kids and the parents
shirt,
at
right?
night, is that they need to get it so that they can tuck it in their pants.
But when we're saying
I guess you could go out and buy a collared shirt and cut it off here, you know, but, I mean, trust me, those kids... Last year.
This should be a plain collar.
I told my 8th grade kids, that was the thing I told them when we were practicing for graduation. I said, you guys are going to be remembered as the class that made us go back to a stricter dress code.
Yeah, good. You get credit for that, guys.
So, but, I don't see that I put that for the girls.
I think I kind of like the red.
It says right there, no,
I don't think I have the holes for the girls.
No,
the girls
just have
so
the
green. So I've got to add holes to the girls.
No holes.
Shirts like this.
Navy blue or khaki walking shorts.
Oxford, anything button up, any of those kind of things, or a collared shirt.
So it doesn't matter if it's plaid.
Oh, no.
Well, that's what Oxford is, kind of.
Yeah,
Oxfords
it says
are
white,
dress
red,
shirts,
or navy blue.
You know, yeah. What now?
It says white, red, or navy blue.
But then it also says that other colors are acceptable as long as they meet the type of the shirt.
Doesn't have a logo on the piece over on this side that says Bud Light or something on it?
Yeah. Or, you know, some plant because you're a tree lover and it just happens to look like marijuana.
Nature.
Something like that.
The nature shirt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I don't know how in the world they didn't have the holes for girls. All right.
Okay.
So I will make that adjustment.
Is there something on here about that wearing of the hoods in the classroom?
No
hoodie sweatshirts are to be worn inside the building.
But they still do it, and so that's the other question.
Well,
who's going to enforce it?
The teachers all have. And that's the
they don't
want to
do it.
Well, they don't want to be fall guys, but you know, we got into it last year.
Is there a way where not hold them like responsible for, but at least you know it's like okay, guys, you so and so teacher has 3 strikes for not. I found this student at 3:00 in the afternoon wearing the T-shirt inside a classroom. And
Bobby and I actually just talked about this 2 weeks ago, but we're going to take turns rotating through the classrooms.
At least just, that student had it on,
right.
I think I could do it. And then
as soon as one kid does it,
there you go. Yeah.
Then it's wildfire. So.
Yeah.
And the hooded sweatshirts, I hate seeing those kids. And a lot of, when I was down here a couple times, the kids were in the classroom with the hoods on.
Most of the kids that we had the issues with were the middle. It was the middle
school.
You know, we don't seem to have the issue with that in elementary or anything.
Mm-hmm. So do we still have those ugly t-shirts? Big.
We have. Well, we have. I've been purchasing some different sweatpants and things like that.
Because that's the worst thing they want to do is wear those ugly t-shirts for the rest of the day. It's like torture.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I put on there that compliance part, so you can see first violation.
That always very good.
The warning, a call home, and then we can go back and grab the clothes out of the back room the second time, you know. So it's just.
Anything about hats?
Oh, yeah,
we don't allow to wear hats inside the building.
But it doesn't say that.
Well, that's straight out. I mean, there's no schools where, honestly,
but
there shouldn't be.
But all those kids had caps on, Tim.
No, not in the classrooms.
Not in the classroom?
No, not, because they lose them. We have, Miss Elias keeps it running dull.
You don't think
anything's
said?
We bring the hats in. No, first time they get it back, second time we call the parents, third time the parents come in and get it, we see it again, then they get in-school suspension.
You don't think we need to add it in there, though? No caps, period?
When you have softball and you have baseball and you have all the other stuff, the kids are bringing uniforms, they got hats. Kids wear hats to school every day.
Right.
Then if you say you can't wear hats, then we're going to have 100 junior high kids wearing dark shades and everything else. And, you know, so now they're going to have their sunglasses and now we're going to deal with that. They're just, you know, I think if you get too finite and you make too many rules, you spend so much time enforcing all the rules that you made. I think we're better off that we just tell the kids they don't wear them in their, you know, it's not respectful to the flag, you don't wear them inside the building. They take your hats off when you're in the building.
And
that's what we said for 3 years.
We'll see
not like we don't get plenty of hats. I mean, we probably get 100 hats in the office during the year.
So I'm going to auction them off at the end of the year for money.
They get them back the first time, second time, and parents come and get them. But
okay. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So I'm motion to approve the second reading of the Knoxville School Uniform Policy.
Aye.
Aye. Well, I need a second.
Second.
Who motioned?
I motioned.
Well, you motioned. Reese is second? Or you second?
Yeah, I second and 3 ayes.
Okay, all right.
Okay. All right, the school calendar, everything is correct on the one I gave you. We start with the staff, the new staff on the 25th and 26th. And returning staff come in on the 27th, 28th, 29th. And then we come back on the 1st. We have open house that night. The 2nd, the teachers will get most of that day to get their rooms ready. And the 3rd, we start full speed ahead.
Now, these are identical?
They should be, the one you had, yes. And then I just wanted to kind of hit a couple of things for you guys. On the 18th and 19th, those are... Kindergarten through 5th grade are going to have early release days, and we're going to have pie conferences. And it's something that we came up with when I was in Minnesota. I took with me to South Dakota, and we're going to try. I think the teachers will really like it. Pie conferences basically was just a short term for parents involved in their education. And so what we do is we set up a 15-minute slot for each parent to come in and talk about their kid. And the teacher's job is to take notes and learn about the kid and the parent. And not for the teacher to run the meeting, but basically allowing, maybe having a few different questions ready, and then having the parents talk about their kids. And it gives the parents a chance to give the teacher some information. The teacher gets a chance to get a little bit of information on the kid, get a little bit of information on the parent. It was really a positive. That was one of the things, I think, in both schools where I was, that was one of the things the teachers felt was the most beneficial thing that they had. Getting a chance to meet the parents early, learn a little bit more about the kids, but do it after they've had the kids for 2 or 3 weeks. So it'll be a little over 2 weeks we'll have had the kids, and then we'll have those 2 half-day meetings in the afternoon for K-5. 6 through 8, we'll still be having regular classes while the parents are coming to meet with the teachers. Mm-hmm. And we call them PIE conferences for that reason, but then my teachers went above and beyond in both places and brought in desserts and stuff for the parents. So they sat down and, you know, ate a cookie or a bar or had a piece of pie, some of them, you know.
And so this is only pertaining to the K through 5
kids? K through 5.
And not their parents?
Yes.
And, okay. And not the older kids?
Right.
Okay.
Generally speaking, we went through junior high 1 year in Minnesota. Our turnout for junior high was horrible. Mm. You know, not that parents don't love their children in junior high, but they just don't seem to love them as much. you know, they show up when they're little. They want, you know, and I think the reason it was such a positive experience for my teachers and the parents was that you don't usually get to go in as a parent and talk about your kid. Mm-hmm. You know, and so giving them 10 to 15 minutes to talk about their kid and what do they like and what are their challenges, what are they really good at, what don't they, you know, things like that, those are all just a chance, you know. And then you guys get to meet each other on a little different level. Because usually when we have a parent-teacher conference, it's usually because, you know, it's about grades or we've had an issue or, you know, we don't ever have a conference just so we can tell you how wonderful your child's doing. You know, I mean, usually there's a, you know, some reason. So this is just about, hey, and we want you to come in. We want you to tell us everything about your little guy or your little gal. We want to get to know them. We want to get to know you, you know. And so I think our staff will really like it.
I think it makes it more personal, too.
We have to build that relationship.
And then they meet the teacher, so they have a little bond going there.
We have to build that relationship, and it's not just with the kids. The family is very important. Yeah. So.
Great.
Why are we having a milk holiday on January?
A what?
It says milk.
M-L-K.
I'm like, why are we having a milk holiday?
Milk, yeah. Now, and on that, on this calendar right now, we do not have that January 20th where Martin Luther King Jr. I know.
I'm like, why are we having a milk holiday?
And that's our president right there, yeah. Anyway, so we don't have the 20th of January. Right now we're planning on having school. That's the day that that Jackie Clay usually has her meetings and stuff. And so we're looking at maybe instead of it doing that every year, to look at it as an every other year. If the teachers come back and they really want to do that day, we'll tack on a day at the end of the year.
Have you been going to the superintendent's meetings?
Well, some.
Some?
We've had so many virtual, and then...
All right. But you have been going to some of them.
Yeah, oh yeah. But the last couple have been like bringing three or four people that are either giving or something so they can come and speak to us or trying to sell us stuff.
Oh, so not a lot of the other superintendents don't show up.
A lot of them don't.
Isn't that funny?
So when there's something on there that's going on that's important, we did most of ours online for, gosh, I think it was about a year and a half. And then when we have our meetings, we also have the county health officials still involved. So we get a weekly, you know, health update, too. So, other than that, nothing too crazy. The 12th will be the last day for the students. The teachers will probably come back on the 15th. I told Mr. Rodriguez, he didn't put that on there yet. I don't know why. I think he just didn't want to be not popular with anybody. So, but we need to have a teacher checkout day, because if we don't have a teacher checkout day where they bring in everything, if we go and the kids are out and then the teachers all want to be out of there and you can't check everybody out, check their inventory, do all that, you can't do 20 staff members in an hour and a half. So, we'll have a teacher checkout day on the 15th, but that's still very early. I will tell you, it's very nice to be done on the 12th. I was done 2 years in a row on May 12th in South Dakota. And it's amazing what the less number of kids are coming to the office that last week. You know, because once you get to the 1st of May, it's just like a revolving door coming into the office. It's one after the other there. There are lots of different things going on. So
we're done with A.
That one, yes, that's everything, I think, unless there's anything you see. And it wasn't legal to have 3 weeks 3 weeks vacation at Christmas. So we took those 3 days, and that's how we chopped the days off at the end of the year.
I noticed that. You're being very generous.
That was what the teachers wanted. Mm. So we tried to do something that they wanted. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand it. I thought it was way too long. Mm. I personally wanted a day before we come back to have all the teachers here for a couple of hours of in-service and then having them be ready for their classroom, because last year we probably weren't quite as ready as I would like to see it. So we'll have a talk about that to make sure that we're all ready when we come back, because that it's important to hit the ground running in January, because you're coming back, kids are excited to get back, and you don't want to.
And then they have that milk holiday coming up.
Yeah, chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla. I mean,
milk,
you know,
and the pie
all
holiday.
Three flavors at once. You know, yeah. Goodness gracious, I tell you. Can't wait.
Oh,
boy.
Go ahead. That's all right. We can vote on that if anybody wants to make a motion.
Yeah, I'll motion to approve the school calendar for the 2022-2023 school year.
I'll second.
All right.
Okay.
Donna, budget changes?
Ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Notice she's smiling. That means she's got more money.
We did.
From the proposed budget that I gave you on June 30th, it went up to, increased $566,946 in the M&O. So I put money into the supply line kind of thing, places in the page one of the budget, where I couldn't really put anything in there before because I didn't have enough to go around. So those are all nicely filled in. I thought everybody had.
He did.
Oh.
I gave him.
What's the difference between this one and
I left it here, huh?
You did. You maybe got two, Don.
Huh?
One in.
One's lower than the other. I mean, printed lower than the other.
They both have the exact same numbers on the cover.
You might have got two.
Oh, really?
One stapled and one paperclip?
Yeah. All these numbers jive.
No.
The paperclip one would be
the
right
one.
This is the one we want here.
This is the one we're going to adopt. This is the one that you had. No, that was the proposed June 30th.
Now
that's the
thing to keep in mind with what Donna's telling you is our budget went up. The one wrench in that with the amount of money that we're getting from the state is they still have not raised that cap limit. Mm-hmm. So the aggregate cap limit is still sitting there. They said after they did that budget that they were going to go and they were going to tackle the cap limit. They still have not done that. I think they're not in recess yet, are they? I thought they were still working on things. I don't know. I took that week off. It was nice to get away, and I really didn't listen to anything about the Arizona legislature. But when they're done, if they haven't addressed it, they will have until March 1st to bypass it again next year. Otherwise, we'll be in a situation like we could have been in last year, where we'll have to cut $500,000 out of our last 3 months of budget. So that extra money that they gave us, if they don't fix the cap, doesn't mean a whole lot. They kick it down the road one more year, then we're okay. Then we'll do just like we did this year and buy all the supplies we can ahead of the July 1 date.
That $500,000 increase came from the increase of the base level support, which they didn't increase until June 25th, I believe it was. So I couldn't have it ready for the proposed budget because the forms weren't out, the AG didn't have everything together, and they needed to re-tackle some of these worksheet forms like this to get them adjusted and everything, because they took a couple things out that we originally were getting. They took out the teacher experience amount, which didn't really make much difference to us, but the base level went up $385 per student. So
$285 per student base level?
$385, I think. But in order to get both the Democrats and Republicans to agree on an impasse, they also had to sign off on that everybody that wants to go to a private school can now get a voucher from the state for that amount to go, which basically took that $6,000 right out of the public school pockets. So they put money into it, but the ulterior motive was to legalize vouchers.
Sounds political.
Not political at all.
Donna, do you remember what it is costing to pay our kids per student?
No, it's...
Did you kind of look into it for your next trip around?
I absolutely will. Mm-hmm. I will get it.
Thank you.
So, in our capital went up to... That went up $16,600. That was affected by the base level and the formulas that we have to plug in. So we, I was hoping it was going to be more than 500, but we got 500 and we're happy with it. So any other questions? Okay.
We good?
Okay.
So I'd like to make a motion to approve item B pertaining to the budget.
I second that motion.
Aye.
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 Good job.
Okay. Letter C. This kind of came up when we started down the road of fixing the two roofs, the middle school roof and look down on the gym. It looks like this, a little kind of spreadsheet Ms. King put together for you guys. And we got three bids that met the criteria, okay? One of the bids, to me, is... It disqualifies itself because what we're looking for is an amount of money, and we want a set amount of money that's going to cost for you to come in and do, which is going to be assess all the buildings, all the roofs, everything, including, you know, the checking the walls and mold and anything else that we have, and air units, the whole nine yards. And so on the bottom one from Burton and Associates, it's $125 an hour for an architect. They give us the breakdowns of the costs for the different people that would come and do the jobs, but they don't tell us how many hours they're expecting it to be. So to me, that's
so
a blank check.
It
could be anything. So to me, that one just eliminates itself right out of the chute, because the other thing is that the people that are with that company generally were not with SFB. And the other two people, or the other two groups above, both have, are run, or these two people both were with SFB, so they both know how SFB functions, what they're looking for, what you have to do. So both of these would be good. You can go with either of these groups. The recommendation that I would make after sitting down with Kristen, and I think Donna's looked at it, would be... the second one, and the rationale for that would be just basically it's the exact same thing. The top gentleman was actually ahead of SFB, so he may know a little more inside from them, but it's $4,000 more. And when we get a bid and we go to them, they're going to want to see the other prices we have. And so if we have a price of $20,000 and we have another price of $24,000 and we choose the guy for $24,000, they will pay us $20,000, we would pay the difference. I think that both of the companies that are here are both good. They both have SFB background. Got a chance to talk to the guy from that came in at $20,600 when I was at the superintendent conference in Tucson, and seemed like a pretty upstanding guy when he came and went through everything. You know, Kristen thought he was good. The guy on the top, Paul, was very good also. Both, you know. So I think either group would be good. I just think, you know, to be financially responsible, when you've got two good groups and there's a $4,000 difference, you go with, you know, if somebody was a lesser and wasn't as qualified, then I would say we go with the most qualified. But I don't think there's a difference in qualifications. I just think there's a difference in cost.
Is there a difference in what they are going to?
Those two are exactly the same. They went through everything exactly the same. The difference is basically what each person in their group is being paid.
Okay. And we can't really consider their locale, but they're within the state.
Right. Yeah.
And the second one down, specializing in roof and weatherization evaluations, that's also something that's kind of been pending with the, I know you've been working on a lot of that stuff.
Well, not only down there, but of course that building over there has just been a twilight.
It's so windy down here too, yeah. You know, so that's...
So, I mean, one of the things we have found out this week is that some of our problems with some of our leaking in the roof is when they built that building especially, but the basic air conditioners, when they put them in, they don't have P traps, they have U traps, and so the water, you know, the condensation is supposed to roll through and whatever. Well, anything gets in there and it gets caught in one of these corners,
right.
And it doesn't get. So they've never really, I mean, they haven't been serviced so much. So if they had a P-trap, you just can, you know, push something, you know, push like a wire brush type thing down. And they have them for those U-traps, but they're way longer. And, you know, and so we asked, Mario was here today, the guy that usually does a lot of our work on the roof stuff. So we're trying to get a quote to get everything serviced. And so we can get it serviced at least once a year, and if not twice a year, so that we can stay up, because the units that we haven't replaced are all closing in on 22 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like when I first got here and we had one that was kind of bad, and then all of a sudden went bam, 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 you know, and then it kind of held off a little bit. We've replaced a couple more. We're doing one in math now. But when he's going to come and he's going to go through those again, and if we've got others that they're going to be more expensive to be fixing than they would be to replace, we can get him to write up a form so we can turn it into SFP so we can maybe get some. And they'll pay the whole cost to have it replaced. If we repair anything, which seems totally crazy, if we repair it, we pay for it. But if we replace it, the state will pay for it. So.
There you go. All righty. You guys know where you're going on then?
Probably the one for 20,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. Ready to move?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll make a motion to, on item C, to approve WRE Corps for the contract.
A second.
Aye.
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 Oops. Okay. All right. The next addendum is just a very short addendum, and in order to allow us to provide any food or beverage or anything, not that kind of beverage, okay, but like pop or lemonade, anything like that to employees, we need to have an addendum in their contract. It was put through by, signed off by the AG, and Donna, I'm not seeing mine, so...
I just don't... This is on travel status.
No, non-travel.
Non-travel. Okay, so when what are you talking about, special events?
Okay, so basically like teacher trainings and things like that, or if we had an open house and we wanted to put out food or anything like that, we're not supposed to supply food for teachers or staff members in non-travel situations unless there's an addendum in their contract that says we can. All I'm saying is if you approve the addendum, we'll add it to all the teacher contracts, have them sign it when they all come back, so that we can have, like, on the Friday when we're doing the active shooter training, we'll do an hour and a half of active shooter, and then after watching a gory movie, we'll eat lunch, you know, spaghetti or something, I'm sure, and then we'll, and then we'll finish the active shooter training and stuff. So, I mean, but otherwise, the Attorney General said we're not supposed to do that.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Is that a new development?
He just signed it. He just, it was
crazy.
Within the last month.
Well, you're not supposed to pay for food for any reason out of your M&O budget. Because that's a gift of public funds.
Wow, right.
So you have to be creative about how you do things.
Okay.
And
I don't really see a big issue about it, do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
We get invited.
You're always invited.
I'm kidding. Depends what you have.
Yeah, if it's just beef burritos, you don't want to come. No, I don't.
When is the active shooter training?
Active shooter training's first Friday, so it would be, what's that, the 29th, I think?
Yeah, last
July 29th.
July 29th.
Starts at like 10 o'clock.
I'll bring the
sheriff's office.
Sheriff.
Sheriff's office can do it?
Cochise County, yes. Two of the sheriff's office, I think they're bringing, I think it's two people along with Bobby are doing it. That's what he said. So.
All righty.
So what a way to end the week.
So now we need to approve the addendum.
Yes, please.
So I'd like to move to approve the addendum or ask for a second to the school employee contract.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 All right. And the last thing. It's not approved yet, but we have applied for it, and if it's approved, I want you guys to have already approved it so that we can send the minutes that shows that you've already accepted that we become part of the CEP program that it will allow us to feed all of our students for 4 years without having to collect any free and reduced
forms.
You're going
to tell me twice.
And this is
I knew I had one vote for you. Brought it up. But yeah, no, and so we tackled that between Kristen, Donna, and myself, and got that all. They give you a month to do it. We found out with a day and a half left, and we got her in and done. So we're hoping that they approve it because they're the ones that told us we qualified. So, but we have not heard back that they approved it yet.
Yay.
And so I want you guys, if you would, to approve it so that when they do, we can send the minutes and we're in.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the CEP program for
sure?
The next 4 years.
Are you seconding it?
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
I'm seconding the motion.
Aye.
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 All right. And if you notice, Donna was complaining because the agenda was so long, so I again left my report off. I don't have anything to tell you really that's new. We've been working on this.
Well, we don't have a superintendent's report on here anyway.
No,
so you're
that's right. So, I mean, we've been working on the welcome back stuff and all that. So, and
that's a lot. It seems like so many things
going on. The one thing that that I think Mr. Almost, it might have been Romero, I can't remember. It was about food, so it could have been Brisa or Mr. Almost, because that was lunch or snacks. But we talked a little bit about maybe if we wanted to do a breakfast thing again, you know, we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so if you guys are interested in that, if you let me know, I could set that up for like that first, you know, morning, or we'll pick a morning and we could do it. If we got an idea, you know, what your schedule is, Don, when you're off, Mr. Almost. And
I don't know about that.
Brisa just called.
That August 13th does not work for me.
August 13th.
Tuesday, August 13th does not work
for
me.
Where do you go, in Vegas or something?
The 13th lands on a Saturday.
We're not coming on the 13th. When did I say the 13th of August?
It says right there, Tuesday, August 13th.
Good Lord. No, it's the 9th. I got on a roll with the 13th of July.
Tuesday, August
9th? I know. I was going to bring that up. I caught it.
Donna told me I had a mistake on here. She didn't tell me what it was. No.
August 9th?
August
9th. August 9th, yes.
Yes, that sounds
all righty.
I'll be getting off of
hey,
work that
milk
morning.
Holiday. Just
You'll
don't
be
getting too lit.
No, I'll be getting off of work that morning.
Oh.
I can come.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's at 5:15.
Okay. Oh, 5:15?
Yeah.
Like, oh, 7:15?
Regular meeting, yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
5:15.
Oh, I thought you were talking about breakfast.
The time is right
but
down here.
But what I'm saying when I was talking about that breakfast was just if you guys want to do that, if you let me know and we and it's the best
and
day.
That was the...
Yeah, I'm talking about the breakfast.
That's what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the board meeting.
The breakfast would have to be from sometime between July 25th to August through August 2nd.
When is the teacher's first day to come back?
All the teachers are back the 27th.
And the kids are back
the 3rd.
The 3rd.
Yeah, I work, well, actually, I work swing, so. Yeah, any of those days, July 27th, 28th, 29th, will work.
Okay. Me too.
In the morning.
Do you want to do it on that Friday before? Oh no, not that Friday because we got 3 online trainings. Then they start at 7:30. So you guys don't want to start early.
How about they show up on the 27th?
Yes.
How about the 27th?
Works for me.
I'm fine with that.
Oh, July?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So do we want to get you guys want to come and we'll get set up at 7:15 and teachers will be here at 7. 30,
are we going to have a sleepover or what?
Sleepover? I'm saying AM, not PM. 7:15 is usually my getting ready for bedtime, yeah. All right.
July
27th. So be here at 7.
27, and you guys will be here between 7 and 7:10, and we'll be ready to serve by 7:25. And we'll serve till 7:50-ish, 8 o'clock.
And then... do you want us to bring the stuff, or are you going to make it here?
You tell... Well, that's why I'm asking you. Last time we did a little of both. I got some things, and then we all brought stuff. Like, I went and got all the silverware. So, like, I can go and buy a bunch of the plates, silverware, all that kind of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And then... if we got an idea of what we want, if you just let me know what you guys are going to bring, and then I'll make sure I get something, and then we'll pick something else up.
Okay. I'll have to think about that. I can't think off the top of my head like that.
I'll work with the office.
I have chickens.
You guys let me know what you guys
want to
bring.
Like fresh eggs.
I got Miss Elias and King and I and Donna.
Because we only have 2 weeks for that.
I know.
So I'll bring
the
fruit platters.
So you better start baking and making samples and bring them over so we can sample.
I'll bring fruit platters.
Fruit platters.
Yes.
Are you going to make them? Or
heck no.
when is the next board meeting?
The next board meeting is the 9th.
The
9th we'll
of August.
Then, so.
August
9th.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, yeah, and I am hopeful to interview a para this week, so.
The
general, what are we lacking?
the new teacher.
From Sierra Vista.
What's her name?
It's Miss King's daughter. So we've had one applicant in 2 months.
Wow.
We've been beating the bush. There might be another person interested, so we'll find out.
The new teacher that's coming from...
overseas?
Yes.
Ronnie.
Any updates on him?
All I know is we passed our interview. Mm-hmm. He's done his interview. Now, and he has paid his bill, and he is set up for an interview at the consulate. Once that goes through, then he gets put in line to when he can come over. The lady that did our interview, well, I say our because Donna and Kristen were going to be in the interview. And then I get the call and whoop, they're out of here. So I handled it. But anyway, kind of like it always goes. And then she said, oh, well, you guys, great. Yeah. I said, we want him by the 25th of July. And she said, well, if everything goes right, maybe. But she said, I would expect more towards the middle of August.
So we're going to have to get a temp?
I talked with Ms. Trevino and myself and some others, and I think I'll probably go teach a few social studies classes.
What?
I'm going to pick the ones I want to teach. It'll be world history, maybe a little U.S., but I'm not going to teach any of that.
Put it on YouTube.
Didn't that happen with our girls before? Didn't one of them get delayed? Or they were delayed?
They were all three delayed.
Yeah.
Mary Joy got here, then Shari came, and then
Susan
came quite late. But Susan was a quite late hire because we had that one gal who we had hired, and then that right before we were supposed to come back to school, she backed out.
Right.
So we didn't even start the interview process with Susan until that last week of July or first week of August. So, yeah, it was late.
So are we ready to call it?
Real quick, two things, some special requests that we something to start thinking about, and maybe we can put it on the agenda later on, doing like a trunk or treat. On Towner, had like a little parade, because I was told that back in the day they did a little parade from the Naco Fire Station.
Did you buy Halloween?
But this time they did like a trunk or treat here on Towner. And like have them start at the fire station and then
during the school day?
No,
after school.
Oh, after school.
It was after school, and they started, like, they either started here at the gym or at the fire station. And either way, they would end. But then they would give like a prize to the best costume and stuff like that. But it was just the fire station truck. The truck would go in the front and make all this noise, and then the kids were following the back.
And then anybody who wanted to
participate and sign up. And then in the contest, you would just stand up and, you know, applaud and get votes, something like that.
And then you got to just find a couple of judges.
Yeah, and then if you do the trunk or treat, each individual car would have their own
candy. You
probably
be the judges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, then, you've already volunteered to be board members.
And the other thing, too, I want to bring back the Christmas program.
Oh, yeah. It'll be back this year. Unless the COVID is really bad, but I mean, otherwise it'll be back.
You just hope and pray it's not even around.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
Something will be, but hopefully
but
it's just not where it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and honestly, I mean, graduation worked out really well. You know, we had a decent turnout. You know, it wasn't as bad as I was fearing, because I was, like, worried that we were going to have, like, everybody to the rafters. People sat, and they sat through the whole graduation.
And those were, I mean, that was like a big class that graduated.
That was 42 kids. So it was good.
So I'm going to move to conclude our meeting.
Second that motion.
Aye.
The time? 1903. 703.
1903.
Don't be giving me that military.
I'll be